Mark chapter 12 is going to be our foundational scripture that we are going to read out of. I'm an Amplified girl. So some of what I'll share with you is out of the Amplified. Some of it is out of the Message Bible. So made me read a little different than what you're actually carrying or looking at, all right? But when we look at Mark 12 and out of verse 29, Jesus was asked by one of the scribes, or you could say, you know, a theologian. It was someone that would have known the word of God. He says, which commandment is first and most important of all? So he brought a question to Jesus. And then in verse 29, then Jesus answered and he said, the first and most important one is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In verse 30, he said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And I like the Amplified because it adds in life. And with all of your mind or with all of your thought and understanding, with all your strength. And then verse 31, and this is the second, that you shall unselfishly love your neighbor as yourself. For there is no greater love than these. No greater commandment than these. And then in reply, the theologian said this. He said to him, admirably answered Jesus, for you have truthfully stated that he is one and that there is no other but him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to unselfishly love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. So let us consider as we look at these passages, these verses, that, you know, the greatest example of someone who was all in was Jesus himself. That he came to earth, he was obedient to the Father, he walked the earth, he lived among us, and he endured, and he laid down his life, and he sacrificed for us. And when we consider that, it seems like that we ought to know that there's such a high price was paid. Shouldn't our lives be different? Shouldn't there be something dramatically different about your life since you've encountered Christ? Amen. Romans 5:6 says this, while we were yet sinners, or while we were in weakness and powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for and in behalf of the ungodly. I know my life was changed, and I'm so glad. As I look around and I kind of survey the audience, I don't think none of you knew me in my BC days, and I'm so glad that you didn't know me. Yeah. Because I was one who was totally in with what my lifestyle was, what I chose to do, what I ran hard and did everything that I thought I was big and bad enough to do. But I'm going to tell you what God did to me. He arrested me. And if I can say it like this, it would almost be like if you were going down the highway and you had your, and I just did this recently, but you know you've got your cruise set on 78 or 80. So how many of you know you're already guilty? Okay, but you know, I'm cruising. I'm listening to a little bit of something, and it's just really sweet. But isn't it interesting how when you see those blue lights behind you, we act like we're surprised, but actually we are guilty, you know? And so that's what God did in my life. He turned on the blue lights on me. He pulled me over. He arrested me in my life. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that he did. Sometimes we justify when we want to do things our way. And we say, well, officer, I was only going with the flow of the traffic. Yeah. That doesn't work. In Christ, we don't want to go with the flow of what everyone else is doing. As his sons, as his daughters, he has a different order for us. He has assigned us to follow righteousness. Come on, somebody. He has assigned us to go all in with him. And I love him about that. As he took control of my life and he gave me a different desire than the way that I was going. So as we look at this subject of being all in, let me give you number one. To be all in, we have to bring him more than just a religious sacrifice. The scribe or the theologian, he said, it's more than burnt offerings and sacrifice if you can do those commandments. And I think what we do is when we just become religious and we get good at doing it for so long, sometimes we forget there's still a stench when it's only religion. We don't come with real intentions. We don't come with real love. When we don't come with a heart that's bent toward him, wanting to be changed, wanting to be transformed. We just want to punch a number or a clock and say, oh, yeah, I went to church today. But I came in a sinner, and I'm leaving a sinner, and I'm going to be a sinner tomorrow. Y'all ain't said nothing. When I used to go to church back in the day before I for real said yes to God, I planned my sin. I don't know about y'all. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I knew exactly who I was going to do it with, or I was going to scout out who I was going to hook up with. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me, but that's quite all right. But Jesus changed my life. He turned my life around. So you have to give him more than just your religious sacrifice, just your duty that I came to church today. It's got to mean more to you than that. Because if you ain't for real, you're going to sing in here right now, but then you're going to cut somebody out tomorrow. If you ain't for real, you're going to do, I'm going to use my story. I ain't going to tell yours. I'm going to use mine. I sang in the choir on Sunday and I was smoking dope on Monday. Tell me something ain't right about that picture. Because I had no real relationship. I had no encounter with God. I did not know his power, that he really was intentional about coming to save me and turn my life around. But when I finally found the truth, my life was changed and my life was transformed. And so if you're here and you're not having a sense of that urgency, if you're not having a sense of, I need to know you, God, I want to be all in, God, I'm hungry, God, touch me, God, do a work in me, God, I'm sick of my own sin, I can smell the stench myself, and I'm tired of it, God. If you're not there, you might need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Come on now, you might need to come back up to the altar one more time. Ooh, Jesus. So go back, if I can give you this, go back to the first time you encountered him in your life. Was it true repentance? Was it true salvation? Was it a deliverance? Or did you just pick up somebody's form of religion? Did you just kind of pick up grandmama's, what she said, but you didn't have nothing for what you had that you could say that you knew about God? Hmm. 2 Timothy 3:5 says it like this: having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such you are to turn away. His sacrifice is to transform us, to make us new. All things are, the old things are passed away. And now I'm new in Christ. Come on, somebody. And so I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in him. I'm not the same that I used to be. I'm not looking back to go back to anything. Ain't nothing there anyway. Yeah. So number one, you have to be willing to bring him more than just a religious sacrifice. So much more. Number two, to be all in, you're gonna have to realize that it's gonna cost you something. Ooh. It's gonna cost you something to be all in. Yeah. And we appreciate, I'm gonna use this as an example. Cynthia and her leadership over our music and fine arts department, such a fine job today. It was a perfect example of just moving into something new, all right? Trying something different but in God, you know. But something we have always said to our team, you know, don't come up on the platform unless it's cost you something. You know, don't just come up in here. Have you fasted throughout the week? Have you prayed? Have you sought the heart of God? You know, have you rehearsed your songs? Do you know your lyrics? Ooh, I'm talking to somebody. What type of spirit are you bringing when you come in the house? Have you practiced your instrument? Are you sure that it's pleasing to the ears of God? And so it's so much more than just your coming and giving us a good melody or giving us a couple of good chord progressions. Don't I care? If you ain't got no anointing on it, ain't got no power, it can't deliver me, what I care? I need some anointing. I need deliverance. I need a touch. I need help. And you playing games. I ain't impressed. I need God. And so we want to then understand that it's going to cost us something. Let me tell you what Romans 12:1 says. Ooh, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Romans 12:1 out of the Amplified. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, or your, it says here, your logical or your intelligent act of worship. So let me submit this to you. It's not an act of worship until you've truly presented yourself to him. Let me submit this. It's not an act of worship until you've devoted yourself to him and you have single-minded integrity. It's not Jesus today and something else tomorrow and something else the next day and looking for something else a little later on. No, single-minded integrity in your heart and in your life with God. It's not true worship till you get there. It's not an act of worship until you're unwavering, and it doesn't really matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter if it's not your favorite worship leader. Doesn't matter if they're not singing your favorite song. It doesn't matter if it's not fast enough for you. Hey, hey. It's not an act of worship that's true until you have presented yourself to God. To be all in is going to cost you something. And this is applicable in all areas of our life. And as we live for him and love him, we'll begin to understand it all the more. I wanted to give you the example of when I met my spouse. and his Raven. Many of you know him, but just a wonderful man of God. And when we knew that it was God, we decided that we were going to honor the Lord, and we were not going to have sex before we got married. Don't even get nervous, because I'm promising you, it's all in our face all the time. We're out in the world, and it's on your videos, it's on your phones, it's everywhere. So can we talk about it just for a minute in church? Hey. So we decided that we were not going to have sex before we married. That we were going to honor God. You know, now come on, now don't act like we didn't have no questions or no doubts about it. I'll just say, speak for me, I did. Because I said, Lord, what if I don't know him that way? What if I'm going to marry him and be with him for the rest of my life? What if I don't like him like that, you know? You know, you have all these questions. But I really think when we're there and we question God, I really think we're not understanding that we need to believe God for the details of our lives. Every detail. Now, if he brought me and led me to my spouse, and he led him to me, I actually witnessed to him, and that's how he got saved, and he joined the church, and woo, yeah, hallelujah, you know? And so, but if he can bring him into my life, can't God also then ensure that he would be someone who would satisfy me? Come on now. That he'd be somebody who pleased me. I ain't got to test the waters. Now, the world tells you go on and step in, live in, to get, you know, move in, test it, try it. And then you feel like you're hooked, you find out later that you're hooked up with a nut. And you're trying to figure out how to get out of it. And you want to call somebody and say, can you counsel me? Can you help me? My mama used to say, you made your bed, you lie in it. But if we do it God's way, there's so much more that he has, so much better that he has for us. And I can fast forward to today. This year will mark our 34th anniversary. Okay? 34 years. Honoring and loving the same man. Having sex with only the one man in 34 years. Come on, somebody. Y'all got nervous all over again. Don't do that. Yeah, yeah. Someone who loves God. Someone who loves his family. Someone who works a job. I think I'll say that twice over here. Someone who works a job. Yeah. Somebody who goes to the grocery store. Somebody who cooks. Who wouldn't love somebody like that? Come on now. I wouldn't have had sense enough to pick somebody like that. I would have went for something in the natural. You know, I'll just tell you my preferences. You're like about 6'2", you know, about 200 pounds. And when y'all know Raymond, so you're not like that at all. Because I would have been going in the natural. I would have messed up. Yeah. But God knew, and he gave me my heart's desire, and he gave me someone who will first and foremost love him and who will honor him. So it's going to cost you something, young people, when you move into a relationship. And if he won't honor your decision that you've decided that you're going to wait, he's not the one. He's not the one. And I'm promising you, he's going to lay all kind of stuff on you about how much he loves you and how special you are and all that. But you ought to already know that you're loved. You ought to already know that you're special. And you don't have to go there, because the unique part of you that God has preserved you for is for your spouse. Yeah. And so you then understand that it's going to cost you something. Trusting God with all of the details of your life. To be all in, it definitely will cost. Number three, to be all in, then you're going to have to come out of your comfort zone. All right, to be all in. How many of you felt like just for a little bit, just for a tad, you're a little uncomfortable this morning with worship? Yeah, because it wasn't quite what you're used to. I'm not familiar with that, what they doing. How come the lights are so low, you know, and they're so quiet, and ain't nobody spitting cotton and doing jumping jacks across the floor, and you know, but you know, there's intimacy in those moments that you'll have to learn to be still before God. We're living in a time when there's something always on. It's the TV. You've got something running all the time, and we don't even know how to be still anymore before our awesome God. To be still, it's in those quiet moments that he's able to speak. It's in those quiet moments he's able to tell you your next steps and what your direction is. And he's able to minister to you and say, I love you. You got so much going on, you can't even hear him. Yeah. But it's in those quiet moments that he's intimate with us. And he can whisper to you, I love you. He can whisper to you, I got you in this moment and what you're facing. You're going to come out on the other side all right. And so we have to understand that you're going to have to come out of your comfort zone, all right? We just finished our Purpose Matters, and so let me ask you this. Have you forgotten already what your purpose is? Have you determined what your purpose is? Do you now know it? Have you locked in to what your purpose is? Hasn't been that long ago. I hear the Lord saying this. Don't you look around at anybody else and what they're doing unless they're following God. I hear the Lord saying this, don't you let the anxiety back in. For a moment you were free. Don't open the door back in. Up, open it, open, don't open it up to let it back in. Don't let the chaos back in your life. Don't let the drama, don't look around at nobody, but don't let the drama back into your life. I promise you, it's really, really important who you partner with. Who has your ear? Who's speaking into your life? You can pinpoint the distractions if you'll be still for a moment in his presence. And I can remember a time I went through something, and you know, my life was really kind of okay, but there was just something was going on, and it was almost as if I had a rubber band around my head, and it was just, I don't get headaches, but it was just really tight. And I'm like, God, what is it? And I remember him speaking into my heart that usually I'll ask the Lord about what friendships or what relationships that I allow in. And at this particular time, I hadn't asked him about one particular individual. And I could pinpoint the whole arena of stress, chaos, headaches, confusion to one person. And when God showed me that, then he gave me the liberty and the boldness to just basically just cut it off and just walk away from that relationship. Anybody ever been part of a toxic relationship? And they don't mean you well, and they're not doing too well. And so you have to sever yourself from those things. Anyone that intentionally leads you to sin, they're not a true friend. I should be able to, or you should be able to help someone live righteously. To walk right, to be holy. But if they can help you sin, you don't need them in your life. Hebrews 12:2 says this. This is the Message Bible. I like this. Hebrews 12:2. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus. He who both began and finished this race that we're in. I like that. I got to get it right. Study how he did it. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That finish in. And with God. It says that he put up with anything along the way. For he knew he could handle the cross. He could handle the shame. He could handle it all. Because of being in God. And for us, if we could just hang in there. Stick with God. But put your eyes on Jesus. All right? Because he's going to get us through whatever it is that we're facing. I remember it. I'll never forget this. Pastor taught us a powerful word. It was some time ago, but it sticks with me. And he talked to us about where you settle is where you'll die. So places of comfort, if I can submit it to you like this, are death traps. Places where you're just comfortable. There's no challenge. There's nothing to move you forward. There's nothing for you to talk to God about. You're just going through the mundane and the routine, and there's nothing even exciting about it in your life anymore. Those are death traps. And you have to be willing to come out of those comfortable places. I'm going to share with you in just a little bit about a couple that God brought me out of. And it's a wonderful thing to when you're able to step out, what God will do. When we look at the life of Abraham, for maybe example, that, you know, he had to start a journey away from the comfortable and the known to move what? Toward a new land. He had to separate from Lot. He had to come out in order to find what God had for him. When you consider Moses, he had to step up in leadership. He could no longer, you know, hide behind, I don't talk well, and God, are you sure? He had to step out, and he had to be the leader in ministry that God wanted him to be. When you consider Joshua, there were many, many promises, and you guys know the Bible, but there are many, many promises that Joshua was given in the children of Israel. But they had to fight for every promise that was given them. Moses is dead. Get up. Let's go take the land. You know, they had to fight for everyone. And then when you consider David, and I like him as a thought that even though he was brought from the pit to the palace, there was a season in his life where he had to wait on God. It would be years before he would step into his kingship. And oftentimes that's not something we like to do. We don't want to wait on God. Yeah. If you don't wait on the right one, you're going to get the wrong one, I promise you. So you're going to have to wait on God, all right? In Joshua 14, we have this passage. It says this. This is where the land was divided against the amongst the tribes of Israel. And it speaks here that Caleb was, he was 40 years old when he was sent to spy out the land. Isn't that something? And when you're reading in Joshua 14, he had this to say about his inheritance. Joshua 14, 7. He says, I brought back word as it was in my heart. And you know the story of the spies who were sent out to spy out the land and how he was one of the faithful ones who came back with a good report. Yeah, there were giants, but we can handle that. Yeah. Yeah, there's increase over there. We can go on over there and take that, God, because we know that that's what you intend for us to have. Somebody's always going to bring you back a bad report. Okay? And you have to settle in your heart what it is that you believe. And Caleb, he said this. He said, I brought back word as it was in my heart. Yeah. You don't want to take on someone's half-hearted response to what God wants to do. All right? He says in verse 8, this will qualify it even a little bit more. He said, I wholly followed the Lord, my God. Isn't that interesting that he can say that as a man of God? I followed the Lord completely. I didn't go to the left. I didn't go to the right. I didn't back up. I followed God wholly. And then in verse 10, he says this, and here I am this day. Now, he was sent at the age of 40, but he says at verse 10 in Joshua 14, here I am this day at 85 years old. Ooh, I think I got a Caleb anointing on me. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I feel like these are my best days. It's like it clicked in by the time I turned over 50. Something about this season, I'm telling you, I don't even want to go back. It is just so good and it is just so right. The power of God, the anointing of God on my life. Yeah. And so he's telling us out of Joshua 14, he says, here I am this day at 85 years old. He says, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. And that's my testimony. That's the way I feel. Just go and give me my mountain. I'm not concerned about the giants. Come on, God, we can do this. We got this. And then he says in verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke about when we were sent to spy out the land. Who is it that can be dare, that can dare to be bold enough to say, give me to the Lord? I believe it's someone who understands in their heart that they're following God completely. Yes. Yeah, if you're following him completely without wavering, you can say, yeah, God, give me. Yes. I believe it's someone who knows their purpose. They can say to God, give me, if you know your purpose and you're standing in it strongly. Someone who isn't afraid to war. Yes. He didn't promise you that it's going to be easy. But you just roll up your sleeves and, you know, and take care of business, all right? Do what you got to do. There have been times in my life when I feel like I raised my hand and said, God, send me. I didn't even know what I was saying. And I don't think it was really just me and myself realizing that I wanted to do something. But I felt like I trusted God in me. And when the occasion presented itself, I just raised my hand and said, I'll do that. And one time in particular that comes to mind for me, I may have shared this before, has been a few years ago actually when it started. I was at St. John's Hospital and I was part of my clinical training for a chaplain, and we opened up and started an interfaith noon worship service. And so we decided that we would do that, and it was, you know, there's mass always a couple times a week, but they wouldn't have anything for that would be interfaith services. And we needed worship. And so Ken, I volunteered, and I said, I can play. I don't know what I don't even know why I said that, because then when we started the program, and then I'm, you know, there we are in the chapel, and you're looking at a camera, you're possibly reaching several hundred rooms, and I have to play as an instrument and a soloist by myself, play and sing. I was like, what did I agree to do? But God. And those were my earlier days of, you know, learning to play, learning to draw, you know, just as an extension of my worship, because I've always been a worshiper, it seems like, for forever. But it was an extension of my worship. And I don't think anybody ever complained. We never had any patient complaints that said that person, whoever she is, she's messing up on the keyboard. Because before I would sit down and play for 15 minutes, I had already been in the presence of God. I had already sought him. I had already worshiped. I had already laid my tears on my keyboard. I had already cried out to God. And then when I would sit down and play in the chapel, and no, not necessarily in the audience, Minister Norman knows because he later joined me in that journey. And wasn't that awesome? And we would preach the word of God, and we would provide worship, and we were just there to serve. But that was just a time when I felt like I raised my hand, and I didn't even know what I was saying. But I knew God on the inside of me was bigger and big enough to lead me. And so we were there for about 2.5 years as God led us in that ministry. So it's a tremendous thing when you follow him wholly with your heart and in your life. You're not limited to what you can do alone. But he will position you and he will pull out of you much more than you ever thought possible. Something of late. Yeah, you can give him praise for that. Something of late that God has done that has just tremendously blown me away as we consider our prison ministry here at the church. And so it's awesome. There are many that go into the prisons, and you guys know that there's several facilities that we go into. But I have been going to the Decatur Women's Facility for about 5 years now. And it's amazing how God will open doors if you're obedient. And I remember when I took the chaplaincy classes and how hard it was, but if you're obedient. And so now I'm going to Decatur, and I'm ministering there. But then an opportunity opens up for me to go into the Macon County Jail. Wow. Now, if you're involved in that area, you know there's a difference in going into the prison versus going into the jail. Right. Totally different. Total difference. And I first went in and I thought, oh, my God, it's dark in here. It seemed dreary. The doors are slamming. I mean, an intimidation type of thing that you have to get over, that you're not going to be fearful. And God opened up the door for me to now go in and provide ministry for the women that are at the jail there. And I'll never forget standing there. You know, I'm seasoned in the Lord, but I'll never forget the first time the inmates came in and just kind of a little bit nervous about it. I said, come on in, ladies. Confidence in God. Come on, somebody. Not in me. Confidence in God. Come on in. I'm so glad to be here with you. Telling them the Lord led me all the way from Springfield, Illinois to remind you that he loves you, to remind you that he sees you, to remind you that this is not the end of your story. Your story doesn't end here. Now, this may be a chapter that you would like to rewrite, but we set ourselves up sometimes for the consequences that we're in. And so we're just going to walk through this, but God's got another chapter, and he's going to finish your course. He's the author, and he's the finisher, and he's going to get you to the other side of this. And we take the word in, and we take worship in, and oftentimes they're not exposed to that. They don't have an opportunity to have that. And so I'm so grateful for every opportunity to do that. And a recent example was this Friday, and I just love God for this. And these facilities, you don't have to come out by their, what's the word? They have to come out by pods, so they can't all come out together. And so on this past Friday, we were able to minister 7 different times to 7 different groups. Provide worship 7, you know, different times. Provide the word 7 different times. And just pour out. You know, just pour out. Because you've given yourself what? Wholly and completely to God. And because he opened up the door, I said, I can go through that. I said, God, I can do that. Because I ain't got no hidden sin. I ain't say I was perfect. Don't put that on me. I ain't say I was perfect. But I don't have any hidden presumptuous sin in my life. I ain't going to sleep with nobody else. Yeah. I'm not doing some of the things. Come on, y'all know. And so I'm honoring God. And when the door opened up, I said, yes, sir, I can do that. And it's been a tremendous blessing as we're passing toilet paper to wipe tears and allow God to pour out, to remind them that he yet loves them, to remind them that he sees them, to remind them that he hasn't forgotten them. To remind them, I tell them, when you go in for your court session, write out your letter to the judge. Don't go in there stumbling. No, write it out. Dear Honorable Judge, start off with, I'm sorry. I know I've made a mistake, but my life is changing, and I see the error of my ways. And I want you to be lenient with me so that I can have another chance and I can have another start. And I tell them that he's a God of a second chance and a third chance and however many chances you need. He's that kind of God. Woo! And I tell them, step up in that courtroom in favor. Yeah, you may be shackled, but step up in there with no fear. Step up in there because God is with you. And we talk to them about repentance and giving our life to God and finding faith. And they are so interested in us here at Abundant Faith in Springfield. And so I'm hopeful, if God leads, that some of them will actually, you know, come here or will have an encounter, you know, opportunity to encounter them again in their lives. But I'm telling you, God is doing a work in the lives of those who will totally surrender. You see, I've learned a long time ago that it's just not about me. He's given me giftings. He's put a calling on my life. He's placed an anointing in me, on me. He's put power in me. Come on now. Y'all can't say it. I can say it. He's put power on me. But it's not just for me. It's for the lives that I will encounter. It's for loving my neighbor as I love myself. I won't see nobody thirsty and I can't give him a drink. But to pour out. And so I love God for that. And so you can dare to be bold and say to God, give me, if you're living right. You can dare to be bold and say, God, give me. In spite of me, give me, God. And I'll take my inheritance. I'll take my land. I'll take the mountain. I'll deal with the giant. I don't care about the hell. I'll handle it, God. Because I know you're with me. And because I know you're more than enough. And so I love him for his faithfulness to move me. And I wasn't even intending to share all that. But to move me in those two arenas with him. New arenas. And I'm still expecting more. Still expecting more in God. Number four, to be all in. This is what it's going to take. It's going to take a press. It's going to take passion. It's going to take prayer. And it's going to take a continued pursuit in God. Consider it like this. I'm a mother. And I don't keep my kids for about 5 or 10 years and then say, oh, I'm done. But actually, my parenting is, I'm responsible for them for the rest of my life. They're now in their 20s. I'm still parenting. Still calling, you know, they'll call and they need an input or they need advice or they need money. That's the youngest one in college. But you don't just start it and then you just let it go. It's a continued pursuit in God. It's from the point of salvation. Yeah. And then you press into more of him as you go. And if you're dull, then you be honest with God and you say, I ain't feeling this no more. I'm not feeling like I used to feel, but I want you to set a fire in me. I want you to pour out in me. I want you to change me. And he'll ignite something new all over again in you. It requires a passion to run after God. It requires that you not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes it don't look like nothing's happening. But when I don't see anything happening, I know God is on the move. I know he's working things out in my behalf. And so it's going to take a press. It's going to take passion. It'll require that you pray and spend time with God. How many of you can honestly say that you have a space up somewhere in your place, in your home, that is your space with God? Okay, so if you don't necessarily say you can have one, it could be a particular chair, it could be a particular room, then I want to give you that as an assignment, that this week you would delegate and designate a particular spot that is just you and God. Just you and God. I have a glider in my bedroom, and that's my cup of tea on my table. And me and my glider, if I need my computer, then it's there. If I need my study Bibles, it's there. But that's my spot with God. And I go there and I meet with him. And then sometimes you just got to say to him, I'm not coming out of here till you touch me. I'm not leaving until I feel your presence, God. I done been through hell all week long. I'm not leaving until I know that your anointing and your presence is on me. And then you sit there for a while. And then you wait on him for a while. And it's not always just about playing your instrument or just about singing. Sometimes you sit in the quiet and you let him do some talking because you've been talking enough. And so you let him do some talking to you and you allow him to pour into your life. And then you speak back to him that I'm unsure about this, God. I know I put that job application in and don't help me in my, I don't want to waver, God. I want to believe you for that job. And you talk to him about the things that are, you know, important to you in your life. So it's going to take a press. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you this. Haven't we seen enough of God's faithfulness to not waver? Has he been good? Has he been faithful? Has he been kind? Has he been patient? Has he been loving? Has he been your supplier? Has he been your deliverer? Has he been your healer? Is he your savior? Is he your God? Haven't we seen enough of God to honor him, to give him our best? Yes. Absolutely yes. To not be wavering in him. He's given enough for the rest of our lives. If you don't get nothing else, he's given enough because he gave his greatest sacrifice. He's given enough. And so I remind my needy self sometime when I feel like I got to have another pair of shoes or I got to get my hair done or I got to have something that I really don't need. I remind myself, God, you've given enough. I'm grateful for what you've given me, God. And I love you for what you've given me. And I find contentment in his presence. And I'm finding that even today, there's nothing I can go out and buy that will satisfy me like God can. There's nothing I can drive away in that'll satisfy me like God can. Woo! There's nobody that I need that can satisfy me like God can. Come on now. And so I find contentment in that place in him as I press toward him, as I pursue him. And I'm still saying on the other side of 50, God, I know there's more. I know there's some aspect of you that I haven't discovered yet, God. I want to see you. I want to know you. So at 3 o'clock this morning, I'm up, and Leanne will understand this. About 3 o'clock this morning, and I'm up, I'm at the keyboard, and I'm playing Open Spaces. And so it's a beautiful song that we'll actually minister. But it speaks to the chorus of just saying that my heart is open. It's an open place for you to come and to have your way. I'm open, God. I'm open. And so I've been saying that to him repeatedly every day. I'm open, God. What do you want to do? How do you want to surprise me? Come on. Where do you want to send me, God? What do you want me to say? Who is it? Who is my intended target, God? Come on. And so I live my life there. It's a wonderful place. Oh, my goodness. I feel him. It's a wonderful place to be in because he's been faithful. As I prepare to close, I wanted to submit this to you. My goodness. Thank you for receiving it from the way that it's in my heart. My greatest adventures in God have come when I was all in. Those have been my greatest adventure. When I would throw caution to the side and just take a leap of faith. You know, it's sort of like a bungee jump, you know. You know the ropes are there and they're designed to hold you. And you hope they hold you. But you don't know if they're going to hold you until you jump. And so sometimes that's the way it is with God. I know he's got me. I know he's with me. But sometimes I'll just take a leap of faith just to see what he'll do. Remind him, I'm your girl. Yeah, I'm your girl. And I know you're going to work this out. I know you're not going to let me be ashamed, God. I know you're going to show out in my behalf. You're getting ready to hook me up. And I step out in faith, you know, in God. Let me submit this to you. For every hard place that I've been in my life with God, and there have been many, he's given me grace to stand. For every hard place. Let me submit this to you. For every good thing that he's required that I let go of. Y'all catch that? For every good thing that he has required that I let go of, he has brought greater in my life if I was willing to release it. Sometimes we just want to hold on. It's good. I'm holding on. There's been some good things in my life that God has required that I let go of. And I didn't always see what was next. And I didn't wonder if I understood fully what he was doing. But I reminded myself that he's Lord. And so, okay, I'm going to let go of that. And I'm going to see how you're going to do it. I'm going to see how you're going to turn this thing around. And how you're going to enlarge my capacity now. Because I got room for you to pour more in. Woo! For every real yes I've ever given to God, he's shown me his ability to do more than I could ask or imagine. According to what? You guys know the passage. According to the power that is at work on the inside of me. Ephesians 3:20. Yeah, he's demonstrated himself and he's shown himself in impossible ways that I couldn't imagine. How did you work that out? How did I end up at this table with these folks with master's degrees? How did I end up at this decision-making process with something that I probably shouldn't even be here, but God? Come on now. And so he's led me. He's been with me. I want to submit this to you. Let's settle it. Forever and always, let's give him our best because he's worthy. Let's settle this that forever and always he's worthy to receive our worship. If it's fast, up-tempo, three songs, whatever we usually do, or if it's acoustic worship like we did this morning. He's always worthy of our best in worship. To give it all to him. Just give it up. Give it to him. Yeah. Forever and always, let's choose to believe that God is for us. That he's always with us. Let's always believe that he's working things out in our behalf. Choose to believe that. Do you know how? But I choose to believe it. Do you know when? But I believe he's going to work it out. I believe that he's my God. And he's for me. He's going to work things out. And this is a word the Lord gave me. I speak this over you. I heard the Lord, Spirit of the Lord saying this. He said, now is the time. He said, no more playing around in the shallow end. He said, out in the deep is where you'll find me. Out in the deep, you'll be unhindered. And that's where you'll find my communion. Come away from the strange voices. I heard him say this. Why does it matter so much what others think? What really matters is what I think. He says, I'm waiting on you to decide to follow me wholly, completely, without hesitation, without reservation. I'm waiting to be found by you. He says, when you search for me with your whole heart, I am there. He says, be all in, for surely I have given you my all.